This month's Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast is the first in a series entitled Hot Zone Designs Past, Present, and Future. Here's our host, Jim Nagy, to introduce the topic of today's podcast.
Thank you for joining us today for a discussion on vacuum furnace hot zone designs, past, present, and future. Bill Jones is a pioneer in vacuum furnace technology and one of the few people who were part of the dawning of the modern era of vacuum furnaces. Today, our discussion offers an overview of his knowledge and experience on vacuum furnace hot zone design, a perspective that few others can offer. So let's listen in on Bill's recollection as he opens up for us the rich history of modern hot zone technology. Bill, you have often remarked about the importance of the Ipsen 924 when it emerged as a new vacuum furnace back in the late 50s, early 60s. Give us your assessment of the 924 and its importance on the heat treating world.
When Harold Ipsen designed and built the first model 924, it actually well introduced the vacuum furnace to the industrial heat treating metals world. There were thousands of the model 924 built, and they were shipped all around the world. And they dominated the vacuum furnace heat treating market for at least 10 to 12 years.
What were some of the inherent design issues of the 924, and specifically the hot zone, since the hot zone is our emphasis today?
The model 924, the internal size of the hot zone size of the furnace was approximately 48 inches deep, 36 inches wide, and about 20 inches high. It was designed to take a standard heat treating basket of the day, which was an enormous advantage for the furnace. And you could put depending on the depth of the baskets, you could put 3 to 4 baskets in the furnace at a time. Part of that inherent design was the original furnace had ceramic rollers, and the workload slid into the furnace on those ceramic rollers. Unfortunately, every cycle, one of those ceramic rollers might break, so that became a maintenance issue. One of the major features of the model 924 was its price. When it was introduced, it had a revolutionary low price by today's standards of about $150,000, which made it very difficult for competitive manufacturers to match that price. The other major advantage of the model 924 was its inherent efficiency. The furnace hot zone was lined with about 6 inches of ceramic fiber, or kaolin. It had a moly hot face, and from an electrical engineering viewpoint, it would go to a temperature of about 2250 Fahrenheit, and at soak conditions would only take about 6 watts per square inch. Translated, that means the furnace was very energy efficient by any standard, even today. The furnace was also a closed box. That is, during the heating phase, it had what they called bungs on the bottom and one on the top, which was for gas recirculation in cooling. However, in the heating cycle, those bungs were closed, and this meant that hot zone was a completely closed box. So that made the furnace very efficient. Unfortunately, one of the downsides of the hot zone was the ceramic fiber insulation. The furnace at best would pump into the low micron range, like maybe 2 to 3 microns. On heating, the furnace would lose its vacuum capabilities, and maybe the vacuum might rise to as high as 25 or 30 microns during the heating cycle. So the furnace was limited in its applications, but there were many applications that it worked very well. For instance, for heat treating the air hardening tool steels like A2, D2, H11, H13, and for something like copper brazing. It's not a high vacuum requirement. But one of the big limitations of that furnace was the fact that it did not have high vacuum capabilities. For example, it would not go into the 10 to the minus 4 or the 10 to the minus 5 TOR range. It also was notorious for high leak rates. Another problem of the furnace, you could not possibly operate the furnace over atmospheric pressure, actually below, at about minus 5 inches HG. So that meant that you could not take it up in pressure because of the inherent poor design of the door, which Ipsen did not correct for many years.
Bill, many people recognize that you are the pioneer of the round all-metal hot zone back in the 1960s. And there were many design innovations that you and your team came up with. The round all-metal hot zone became the hot zone of choice for the vacuum furnace. But over the last three decades, the insulated hot zone has become the standard. Explain for us the place that the all-metal hot zone has retained in vacuum furnace use, and what are the pros and cons of this design?
Well, first, let's take a look at the all-metal hot zone. The all-metal hot zone, which usually consisted of two moly layers of molybdenum heat shields backed by two layers of stainless steel, was the, if you wish, the insulation of choice when the first ABAR furnace was introduced. What this meant, the furnace was extremely, it would pump down very fast, and it would pump down into the high vacuum range, 10 to minus 4, 10 to minus 5, or into the 10 to minus 6 TOR range with very low leak rates because the vacuum chambers were inherently well designed. So that was the major advantage of that hot zone, and therefore it would process critical materials. It would braze the more difficult nickel alloy materials. It would heat treat the stainless steel alloys, annealed tubing, and so forth, and keep them bright and shiny, and you would not have oxidation. Also, the furnace, because of the inherently solid vacuum chamber design, could be operated to at least a pressure of 2 bar or 15 pounds positive pressure. So with the introduction of the ABAR all-metal hot zone and then the further improvements in the gas quenching system that came along with it, the ABAR round metal hot zone became a very significant competitor to the Ipsen furnace, even though it was sold for anywhere from 30 to 40% higher in price. But the mechanical integrity of the furnace and many other features of the furnace were a great advantage. Now, the all-metal hot zone, as compared to the insulated hot zone, is sufficiently, if you wish, inferior in terms of power consumption. The all-metal hot zone would require about 20 watts per square inch, as compared to the Ipsen hot zone with its all the KOWL insulation of, say, 5 to 6. So you can see that the metal hot zone, by comparison, was a power hog, even though it had the other attributes. Well, the other attributes were worth paying for, and the widening of the market application was worth it all.
This concludes our first podcast in the series we are calling Hot Zone Designs, Past, Present, and Future. Please join us again in the near future for our next Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcast, when we will ask Bill Jones about the present state of the art of vacuum furnace hot zone designs. We trust you have found this and all our podcasts helpful.
The Vacuum Heat Treat Minute podcasts are underwritten by Solar Manufacturing, the innovative leader in advanced vacuum heat treat furnaces. You can find us on the web at solarmfg.com. The websites of Solar Atmospheres and Solar Manufacturing contain technical papers and articles for download related to vacuum furnaces and vacuum heat treat processing, which will be very helpful to our listeners. We also encourage our listeners to search the Resources tab on our websites for other technical resources available through the solar companies. Thank you for listening, and be sure to look for our next podcast for another informative Vacuum Heat Treat Minute.